morning, if you will, turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 119. We're going to look at verses 129 through 136. If we remember, Psalm 119 is the largest psalm in all of Scripture. It's 176 verses, I think. It's also the longest chapter in the Bible. Now, if you've studied Psalm 119 or read through it from time to time, you might have picked up on this, but the entire 176 verses is about God's Word. And essentially what the psalmist is saying, the guy who wrote the psalm is saying, is that God's Word is sufficient. It's sufficient in several ways. It gives us what we need as far as our knowledge of truth. It gives us guidance and direction, but it's also the place where we go to get comfort from God. Now, today as we look at this, we're going to look at a particular part, and it's a statement that is made in 130, that verse, about the Word, God's Word, gives light. Now, I don't know if you've realized this. To be honest with you, I didn't even realize what God was doing in sort of the framing of these messages, and it made sense to me this week, right? And that was, we've been kind of walking through different, what I'll call hard sayings of Scripture, or oftentimes misunderstood statements from Scripture. If you'll remember, 2 weeks ago we looked at worship and what it means truly to worship. We kind of emphasized there sometimes the misunderstanding of what it means to worship in spirit and truth. Now, when we started that 2 weeks ago, I didn't realize where we would be today, but it was neat how God kind of frames this. Then last week, if you were here, we looked at love. And we looked at really the fact that God loves us first. You remember that? That's something that's not necessarily, it is a statement that's made in Scripture, but it's a fact that we hear as believers. And one of the things we pinpointed on last week was that we sometimes misunderstand that. And then today we're looking at this idea that God's Word gives light. Now I think, again, that's much like what we looked at last week in that God loved you first. We just sort of understand the surface level of that, but we often don't realize the theology behind that. And that's what we're going to attempt to do today by diving into that. Now hold on, next week come back. And this message had already been written several weeks ago with everything going on. And then it just sort of popped this week. God has kind of created a mini-series. Isn't it neat how he does that sometimes without even us realizing it? And here I am, the pastor, and didn't even realize it. Next week, we're going to look at a difficult part of the Old Testament about famine from God's Word. It goes into what we're saying today, but it's another, what I would say, is a difficult part of Scripture in that the people were sort of holding back from God's Word. So come back next week and we'll look at that in Amos. I don't know what will be week after next. I haven't got to that point yet, but we'll see what God does. He may stretch this into 5 weeks rather than four. So here we are, Psalm 119 today, verse 130. 130 will be our focal. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump right into this, reading through it. I'm reading out a New Living Translation today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again this morning for the privilege of having your Word. Not just in our possession and in our heart, but the availability of your Word to guide and teach us. And really today, as we dig deep into this statement about it providing light and kind of unpacking what that means for us today in 2024 as believers living in a chaotic world, Lord, help us as your children, those who have accepted Christ today, to be reminded of the power of your Word and what that means for us. For the lost person this morning, my prayer is that they understand one simple thing today, and that is your Word is truth. That we can depend on it, rely on it, we can trust it, we can believe in it, and it's never going to fall short. And in the journey to accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, that fact right there comes from what the Bible teaches us. And any person who comes to know Christ has to come to terms with, do they believe God's Word is truth or not? And if it's not truth, then what is it? And how do we explain how so many have given their lives to its teachings? If it is God's truth, which is what we believe, then what do we do with it? So my prayer this morning for that lost person is that your Spirit just sort of grips their heart, and that through their heart into their brain, they come to terms with that truth. Now God, as always, bless the reading of your Word. Guide us as we walk through this important passage and being able to glean from it the truths that you have for us today. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Start reading with me. Psalm 119, verse 129 is where we'll begin. Now, let me tell you this before we read. There in the Psalm 119, the psalmist uses 10 different words for the Word of God. This particular passage we're looking at, as I was sitting over there, I did a quick count. I think we see 6 of the 10 just in this passage. So we'll point those out as we go through this. Number one is, your laws are wonderful. That's one way to refer to God's Word. No wonder I obey it. Verse 130. The teaching of your Word gives light. Now that's, we're going to focus on that today, and that's a second reference to God's Word, is literally the word Word. He goes on, so even the simple can understand it. Now there are some complexities in God's Word. And as I kind of broached it last week, and we'll do it again today, there's some deep theological truths that sometimes undergird the things that we read in Scripture. But on the surface of it, there's enough there that can begin to what I call warm our hearts and guide us into that truth. The truth in and of itself is not complex. It's when we dig deeper. And let's make sure we understand that before we go any further. I think you first, when you study God's Word, need to understand on the surface level what sometimes I call the face value level, what it's saying and what it means to us. And then once you grasp that, you begin to dig deep. You don't have to do that, but if you have that desire to begin to understand the whys and the whens and the hows, then you dig deep. But you have to do it in that order. Because if you dig into the theology and all of the what's and the how's and the when's before you understand the truth, then you're no different than a lost person in the world reading God's Word for not what it was intended to be. A history book, a book about archaic truths, a book of poetry. I mean, any number of reasons of why you would read that, but we understand the nature of God's Word being alive. So we need to approach it through the Spirit that God has laid into our heart. You understand? And that's where we've got to make sure that we get that. And I'll go a step further. I believe the Holy Spirit that's intertwined with your soul as a believer allows you to understand those truths in a different way than a lost person does. Amen? And so because of that, the complexities that a lost person gets stuck on sometimes are not that for us. Because we're seeing it from our Heavenly Father guiding us. And so that's important, that statement. It's simple and can understand. We all can, to whatever level. He goes on, verse 131. I plant with expectation, longing for your commands. I think we're on 3. That's the third reference to how you call God's Word. Verse 132. Come and show me your mercy, as you do all who love your name. That is, we see the living, breathing Word of God, but we see even beyond that, we see the living, breathing God through His Word, right? And so we see the actions of His Word, not just in His believers, but in God's handiwork in this world. And He goes on, verse 133, guide my steps by your Word, so I will not be overcome by evil. Now we're going to get to this part, but there is guidance that is provided through God's Word. And we've got to rely on that. We've got to depend on that. We've got to accept that and then follow that, right? And then he goes on and he says this, I think 134, ransom me from the oppression of evil people, then I can obey your commandments. Okay, commandments is another reference for God's Word, I believe. Maybe that's 4. But the truth of the matter is that we can be, and I'm going to use a word here, I used it before, but we can be bamboozled. That's a great word. I love saying that word, by the way. But we can be taken in, deceived is another way to say it, by the truths the world proposes that sometimes become counter to what God's Word teaches us. And the problem is that we're too easy to jump on what the culture says, even knowing that we're aware that it contradicts God's Word, but because it's acceptable in the world, we'll begin to believe that. And then before we realize it, we've changed what we believe, and we've started denying the truth. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment, but we have to come to terms first and foremost that God's word is truth. There are no other truths outside of his word. Now I'll explain that. Don't go after me yet. I'll explain that in a moment. Just hang on to that, and we'll develop that a little bit more as we go. Let's finish this, 135, 136, and we'll finish our reading. Look upon me with love. Teach me your decrees. That's number 5, by the way, decrees. Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your instructions. I think that's 6, if I count it up right. Another way, 6th way to look at God's word. So there's the verses. Let's come back, as I've said, and we're going to focus in on this idea that God's word gives light. I put it under this sort of subheading, how does God's word give us light? So there are 3 simple things that we can extract from these verses, and really not just here, but throughout all of Psalm 119 and in other places in Scripture too. This is not unique to this particular verse structure, but we see this teaching over and over again throughout Scripture. But there are 3 things we need to kind of focus in on when we want to understand how God's word gives light. Number 1, you see it on the screen, by offering direction. Now that's easy. God's word gives direction. What do we mean by that? He gives us guidance. When I literally believe this, he will tell you what direction to go in your life if you give him the place to say those things. And if you will learn to recognize his voice, not literal, not audible voice, but his prompting. And for me, I've never heard God's audible voice. I've said this before, but I've been prompted by him in my heart. I know that. And I've learned to recognize what that sounds like in my heart. And as we follow him, we learn more. We said last week, we learn more to love him every single day. Part of that love guides us in learning to hear him better every day. And so when we talk about the guidance and God giving us direction, we need to plant on that and understand that God does that. He's not checked out of this world. He did not create this world and then take off on a spaceship somewhere else. He is present and still working in this world. And if you believe that, then you can begin to accept the fact that he's involved enough in your life to give you direction and guidance. But here's the caveat. All that part is easy. The hard part is this, being willing to follow that direction. And I'll be the first to stand up and admit I've struggled with that. Because I sometimes become sort of conceited and think that I know better than God in this particular thing. And so you know what, God, you're telling me to go the right way and I'm saying I want to go the left way. And so I begin to make decisions on myself. Every single time I've done that, it's ended badly, oftentimes in some form of destruction. And I have nobody to blame but me. I knew clearly what he wanted me to do, but I thought at that moment, did I mishear him? Maybe he got it wrong. My impatience wants me to start stepping before I get the fullness of what he wants for me. And all of these things I'm describing, many of you have experienced. God does guide us. But the catch is, are we going to follow that guidance? And I'm going to admit to you, maybe not just in this church, but throughout churches in America and probably the world, that's one of the biggest things we struggle with. Because we're overlaying what we want on what God is telling us he wants, and then we're trying to sort of parlay those together. We're synchronizing them. God doesn't need us to synchronize what we want with what he wants, right? We always have to follow what he wants. And then he begins to change our attitudes and our desires to begin to match up with his. I mean, at least that's the way it works in my life. I said this the other week. I didn't wake up one day and say, you know, I want to be a preacher. Man, if you had told me when I was 11, 12 years old, when I first got saved, that one day I was going to stand in front of people on every Sunday morning and divide God's word and preach, I would have told you, you're crazy. That'll never happen. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that kind of person. And my image of preachers was not always real positive at that point. And that was the last thing. But God had a calling on my life. That's very clear to me now. And while in the beginning, I was not accepting of that and made some stupid choices along the way to go my own direction. And every time God kind of brought me back to where he wanted, nevertheless, here I am today. And it's not propping me up or anything like that. I've struggled. There's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, literally, and coming to terms where finally I just, it wasn't that I had some glorious acceptance. Well, thank you, God, I finally get it. It was out of frustration. Everything else I do gets frustrated, God. That has to be you. Maybe I just should give up and do what you want me to do. And in all honesty, that's where I got and where I'm at now. Is that it's just too difficult to not follow his direction. And I still don't get it right every day. I don't. There are times that I still struggle. But my focus right now, and I'm just being as transparent and honest with you as I can. Right now, I'm just trying to get the big things right. And then the little things, I've learned to just be patient in those things. And oftentimes, what would have been maybe 20 years ago a really big deal, now as at my age, they're really not. I need to learn to be patient, and that's what I'm learning. And part of it is I just don't have the energy to focus on some of those small things. I just want to make sure that tomorrow I wake up and the direction he's given me, that I follow that. And then when I mess it up, I got to figure out how to get back on track as quickly as possible so that I can be obedient and do what he wants me to do. Listen, this is not a make the decision and I'm done with it for my life. It is literally a day-to-day thing. It's oftentimes an hour-to-hour decision process. And if you're like me, it's often a minute-to-minute thing. I might have been faithful 2 minutes ago, but now I'm not. And so it's constantly seeking him. And while we've not talked about prayer, prayer is for me the process in which I go through. Saying, Lord, just give me the direction here. And sometimes he does implant that. Sometimes it's through circumstance. Sometimes it's one of you that sort of proposes something or says something and you don't realize it, but God uses that as a way to confirm something that he's telling me to do. Sometimes it's something completely different. Something I read or something that God has given me, but I had forgotten about until that moment. Listen, I think the point here is, God gives light by giving direction and guidance. He cares about you. He cares about everything that you go through. There's not one thing that he's going to say ever about your life, well, that's just so unimportant, I'm not worried about that. He'll never say that. If it's important to you, it's important to him. If it has something to do with your life, then he wants to be a part of that. I don't care what it is. And so it's learning to live daily. And here's where the prayer part comes in for me. It's like having a constant conversation with him. I did a thing this last week, conference. I spoke about it a little bit on Wednesday night, just a small amount. It's one of the more profound conferences I've been to lately, honestly. And in that, it was talking about just different depressions and things like that. And one of the things that the speaker was talking about is the voices in your head. Now, that's not always a good thing for you to be telling people that you're hearing voices in your head. But the fact is, in a believer's life, we're constantly talking to God, or at least in that form. We're praying. Lord, what's going on with this? Help me do this. I've said this before. Every time I go visit somebody in the hospital, typically I'm getting off the elevator if I have time, and I am praying to God, not out loud, but just in my head, Lord, give me the right words to say. Help me not to do something stupid here. Help me to be sympathetic. Help me to understand what you have for them. Give me words to say to them. And then as soon as I hit that door, then that stops, and now I'm just letting God do what he wants to do. It is a constant conversation, but it's a matter of just including him in those activities. I've said this before. Here's another example, and then we'll move on. When I drive, I pray. Not always because it's unsafe, it is, but I'm praying because that is one of the few places I can go where there aren't other people listening in or walking by. Now, I guess that may not be true. I do drive most of the times in the summer with my windows up, and I have been caught at stoplights, people looking at me, and I'm just talking. But nowadays, it's not that odd because everybody's got CarPlay or Android Auto in their car. So as far as they're concerned, I'm talking on the phone to somebody. They just don't know who I'm talking to. And so I'm not as uneasy about that feeling anymore when someone's watching me. But nonetheless, when I pray in the car, it's often just not a formal thing. It's just having conversation with God and wherever I'm going and what I'm doing, trying to lay that out to Him. Listen, those are all examples of ways that we can have that conversation. I think that is one of the better ways for God to give us that direction and guidance. But He does do it other ways. The point in this one is that God's Word gives light because He gives us direction. Now here's our parting statement before we move to point two. What God tells you to do will never contradict what He says in His Word. It's always going to be in sync. God's not going to tell you to do something that's separate from His Word or different from His Word. That's how we always have, listen to this, the reliability in His Word and what He's telling us. Number two is this. Not only do we see God's Word gives light through giving direction, this is the big one. Number two is by providing truth. Let me go back to what I said a moment ago. And I think there are some things you need to know about me. I believe in the absolute truth of God's Word, okay? I believe that it's perfect in its state, the way God spoke it into existence. Although He used human writers, it is a divine word. It is a very different category than what we see in Christian books today. There's no equivalent. There's no similarity. A good Christian writer today can write something inspired by God, but it's not the same levity of what we see in God's Word. It is divine in that sense, and it's a holy, living Word of God. Now, caution, we don't worship the Bible. We worship the creator of the Bible, the one who wrote the Bible, whose words are contained in the Bible. Okay? I also believe, and this is where it gets back to what I said a moment ago, God's Word is enough. Let me use that other term I used a moment ago. It's sufficient. Now, while I'll admit, as someone who kind of comes from this approach, as I've just described in God's Word, I'll admit there are things that you and I perhaps face in modern culture today in 2024 that aren't specifically written about in God's Word. I'll admit that. However, there's biblical truths that guide in every situation that you face. And so when I say God's Word is sufficient, that it's enough, we don't need a volume two. We don't need something added to it. I'll even go out on a limb and say this. You don't need a Christian devotional. Wow, that sounds weird to say that. You don't need a Christian teacher. God's Word is enough. All those things should supplement and support what you're already learning about God's Word. That even includes my preaching on Sunday morning. If this is all of God's Word you get, you're not getting enough. This should be supplemental. That's why I always say, maybe this is a parking point for you this week. Maybe you should go back to verse 1 and spend time building on all of this. I'm trying to help you to see that this is here just sort of supplemental at best in what you are already studying. And so God's Word is sufficient. We should never flip that around and start putting other things in front of God's Word. I don't care what they are. Could be a wise old Christian that wants to tell you things. It could be sermons. It could be books you read, devotional, Sunday school class material. All of those have great intentions. And in and of themselves aren't wrong. But when you rely on those more than you do God's Word, you're getting it out of whack. And so we must put God's Word first. Now, why can we do that? This is the part that we really need to understand, because it's trustworthy. If it's sufficient and it's enough, then what makes that enough is the very nature of God. He supports His Word not just because it was written by Him some 4,000 and some places 2,000 years ago. It's still supported by Him today. And that's why when we say it's a living, breathing Word of God, I honestly believe this, and most of you have heard this teaching before, that the Holy Spirit guides us in understanding the complexities of Scripture. And so when we study as a believer, it is as if we have a tutor sitting next to us, helping us to understand what those things mean. Outside of faith in Christ, it is impossible, in my opinion, to fully understand the nature of God's Word, including the truth. That's why I said a moment ago, if you're approaching it for some other reason than to glean truths about Him and what it means to your life, if you're trying to learn history from God's Word, it's going to not be what you are looking for. Some people try to make God's Word a science book. It's not. It's not meant to be that. Some people look at it as ancient writings. Well, I'll give you that. It was written in ancient times, but it contains an applicable, relevant truth for today. Why is that? Because God's truth is always truth. And that's why this book, the Bible, doesn't go out of style. You don't need a volume one, volume two. If you've been to college or anything, you always sort of got upset because the textbook for that class was now the 23rd edition, not the 22nd edition, which you could get free, but now you got to buy the 23rd edition, and because they've decided to update some things. You don't need that. That's not going to be the case in God's Word. It is sufficient. Now, we've changed the language of it, but not the truths of it. We've changed perhaps the notes in the margin, but we've never messed with the actual meaning of those words. And so not only is it truth, and I've said this before, but it's reliable. It's trustworthy. It's truth. It's reliable. We can depend on what it says. And so if we follow its teachings, then it will always prove to be correct. And so when we start thinking again through this idea, God's Word gives light, it gives direction, but it also gives truth. And it is absolute truth. And while I can't always look to Scripture to figure out, is this political policy this day correct or not, I'm not going to find that perhaps in Scripture, but I am going to learn about biblical truths and what God's desire is that allows me then to interpret what His desire or the way He may see this. That goes with anything we face in life. And so again, let me go back to what I said a moment ago. You can't rely on me as a preacher to tell you what God's Word says. Please don't depend on me to tell you what's right or wrong about political issues or any other cultural issues in our world today. Please don't look for anyone else to tell you that. You, as a believer, have the ability to go into God's Word and discern those truths for yourself. And all you do when you come to church and all of those things is you're fellowshipping, you're getting some encouragement from God's Word to help you continue your search and your deep dive into those truths. Maybe some guidance along the way, but yet it's really more about you coming and experiencing God with other believers. As we said the other week when we talked about worship, I mean, that is the center of what we do as a church, is worshiping. But God's Word goes so much more than just providing truth. It becomes the basis of our truth. And there are a lot of anomalies in our world today that I don't understand. And maybe God's Word does speak to it a little bit, or at least give undergirding truths to help me to understand it. But there's also things that I still don't understand. And that's where faith steps in. I know the one who does understand those. And while I might not understand all of the intricacies, I know He does, so I trust Him in those things. In other words, what I'm saying, there's always going to be gaps in our understanding. That's where we trust Him. Not somebody else. We trust Him. Here's a great example. Now, I don't understand hearts. I don't know how a heart works. I don't know what makes it beat. I wouldn't know the first thing about heart surgery. But God does. And there are some who understand it a little better than I do. I don't know that they even fully understand it, but at least they know more than I do. And so in that gap, I trust Him. Lord, You're going to bring along that doctor who has more knowledge than I do. Maybe they don't understand everything, but at least they know enough that they can go in and correct what's wrong with my heart. And as I pray for healing and a miracle, You've provided it through that. I might have wanted a grandiose, awesome healing where that light came out of heaven and poured into my little heart and I was cured, and You could do that, but I've been praying for a miracle to be done the way You want to do it, and You're doing it through the doctor. I don't know why. I don't understand it, but I trust You. And that's where, as He tells us, be like little children. Don't think you know everything. Don't try to figure it all out always. Sometimes you will know, but other times you won't fully understand. And that's then where that gap exists and faith steps in. Got it? So now I begin to trust Him. And then along the way, I've learned with family members who had heart issues. I've learned a little bit more about hearts and how they work and what you need to do and don't need to do, at least. But I still don't understand all of it. But I still trust him with those things. And why and the hows and the whens. I don't, that again goes back to, I don't have the energy to try to figure all those things out. I mean, really, if you're being what God wants you to be, you should be so much trusting in him that life now becomes less stressful because you're leaving it up to him to guide you. But here's the problem. That little voice, not him, but another little voice in your head says, yeah, but that's not going to work. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't believe that. He's not going to be there. What if it doesn't work out? What are you going to do? That's my biggest problem because I'm an administrator. So I'll give God the plan A, but then in my mind, I'm over here figuring out B, C, and D if God doesn't do what he needs to do. But I'm going to be honest with you, he's never failed. He's always done. He may not have done it the way I wanted to do it. He may not have done it in the timing that I wanted. And I have been guilty of starting on plan B before he has even started plan A. And pretty quickly I realize that and I have to back up and let him take charge. That's part of that sort of back and forth with God every single day. Learning to let him be God in those things. Number three is this. And this one's easy. This one's not hard. But just review. So we said, how to understand God's word gives light is first, it gives direction. Two, it provides truth. And then finally, number three is this, it gives hope, or by giving hope. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, we've kind of already touched on this. And certainly the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about hope, and let me define what the biblical definition of hope is if you don't know. Hope is not defined the way the English language says it, where I hope this will be true. I don't know that it will be true, but I'm hopeful that it will be true. That's not the biblical definition of hope. You need to replace that word hope, if that's your mindset, with the word certainty. Because the biblical definition of hope actually teaches that it's certain. That it is certain that God will show up. It is certain that he is on his throne. It is certain that one day you're going to stand before him and out of his love and forgiveness in your life because you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's going to welcome you into eternal glory called heaven. It is certain that that will happen. It is certain that Jesus is coming back. It is certain that God loves you and loves you enough that he is certain to be a part of your life every single day. So when we kind of hear this by giving hope, it really, I think, would be more accurate. I'm not questioning the way the Bible uses words per se, but I think our interpretation sometimes gets out of whack because we're seeing it through our language. And remember, the Bible was not written in the English language. So it would really be more accurate, I guess, to be said that it gives light by giving us certainty. We can be certain of things because God's word teaches us. And we've gone through a few of those things. And so it goes back to what we said a moment ago. If we truly believe that God's word is what it is, that we've said it gives direction, it provides truth. In other words, it gives us kind of a measuring stick to measure lies against. We didn't say that, but that's true. And then it gives us the certainty of what will happen and what's happening now and the certainty that God is present. I mean, all of those things now begin to give us, and here's a word we've not used today, but it gives us a sense of freedom. Freedom from the struggles of life. Not that they're all going to go away. Certainly not. Certainly not that things are not going to be bad sometimes and bad things aren't going to happen. But you have the freedom in knowing that God is sovereign and on his throne. And regardless of what's happening in your life or what you're going through, you can be certain that he knows exactly where you are. And he's not going to abandon you. He's not going to forget about you. He's not going to be so busy that he's not going to be able to take time for you. None of those things are going to be true. For him, in his great divine nature, it is as if you're the only one in his life. We don't think about that often. There are others, make no mistake. But he has the power and ability to focus on each and every one of us as if we were his only child. And that's the kind of love that comes with that. And that's the kind of power that comes along with that. And that's the kind of guidance that we've talked about that comes along with that. And so when we begin to truly believe that, and again, what did we say in the beginning? I mean, we can say all we want, yeah, I believe God's word is true. I believe it gives light, sure. And I think we have offhandedly made those statements. But oftentimes it's good to go back and now begin to kind of evaluate, really, what does that mean? And we've done that today, but the bigger question is, are we living that way? Are we living truly like that is what we believe? And if it is, then now we have the freedom, and I've said this a lot, but it fits, to let God be God, not just in those areas you want Him to be, but to let Him be God in all areas of your life. And allow Him to guide you, to provide truth for you, and to give you the certainty, I'll say it this way, the certainty of hope that He has a plan for you, and what you don't realize that's over the horizon is what He wants for you. And you have to trust that. And you got to stay in the lane, not get distracted, not believe the lies about God's word or other things, but you need to stay focused on Him and just figure out what He wants you to do today, this afternoon, and do that to the best you can, and then tomorrow. And not worry about next week, not worry about a month from now, but just focus on it. I think that's what He means, at least for me, that's where I'm at right now. That's what He means by just being like a little child and let Him be who He is and let Him guide you. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning. Certainly for the blessing of Your word and the truth of it and what we've learned from it. And probably these are all things we already know, but it's good sometimes just to get back to what I like to call the basics. And just to kind of evaluate, to reorient, to calibrate for a moment and make sure that first we're seeing things the way they really are, that is with Your word, and then that we're acting on those things in the way that we need to. And so as we walk away from this today, we kind of come back for believers. And I guess the word that summarizes this is, do we truly have freedom in You? Do we have freedom in this world from all of the worries and struggles and the anxieties and fears that are certainly part of daily life? Are we truly free from those? Because that's what You've intended for us because of Your word. It does give us guidance, as we've said. It does give us truth. It does give us hope. But more than anything else, it's a message, a letter that You've written into this world for us so that we never have to feel like You're not speaking to us. Your word is a living, breathing word. It speaks. So maybe for the believer this morning, it's more about maybe the realization of some struggles that we're having with that. Maybe we're not giving the time to Your word. Maybe we're guilty, as we said earlier, of putting other things in front of Your word. Maybe we're searching for our truth through other means and not through Your word. All of those are things that we need to deal with as individuals. And maybe get right, give those over to You, change those behaviors. Maybe recommit, rededicate to certain things in just daily Bible study, perhaps. Now, for the lost person, I go back, and I said in the beginning, I really want the lost person to be focused on the absolute nature of the truth of God, because that now begins to be the first obstacle we have to overcome. It is truth or it's not. And if it is truth, well, then that means that Jesus died on the cross, as it teaches us, and that no one can come to the Father, not through salvation, any other way, except through what Jesus did. And that's a simple thing. It's giving our heart and our lives over to Jesus, asking Him to forgive us of our sins, and letting Him be Lord of our life. As we move into this time of commitment, I'm going to invite both those who might want to make that decision to come forward, tell me that, and then we're not going to embarrass you. We're going to connect you with somebody who can help you see what that means a little deeper and then lead you in that process. For the believer, if there's no public decision, maybe it's time to get at the altar. And maybe there's struggles, maybe there's fears, maybe there's anxieties that we're struggling with that are all part of the fact that we are not experiencing the freedom found through Your word. And so maybe it's time just to kind of give those over. I mean, there's nothing special about this platform or altar, but it's symbolic that we can come and lay things down before You, Father. Whatever that is today for each and every one of us, help us as we now respond to Your word and what You have for us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?